The gospel lesson for today is taken from the 25th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from verses 31 to 46. Glory to Christ, our Savior. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And this will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Well, my friends, what are the things that matter to you very much? Your family, your career, your relationship with God, or maybe your Korean drama serial. And do these things that matter to you, do they often consume much of your attention and concern? Well, I believe the answer is yes for most, if not all of us. And you know, it is definitely a yes for Nehemiah. Back in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, it is very clear how the ruined walls of Jerusalem, and more importantly, the broken relationship between God and his people, matter so much to Nehemiah. Because right after receiving the news, Nehemiah wept and moaned for days. And he even left that privileged position in the king's palace and went to the place of great trouble and shame in Jerusalem so that he might do something about the situation. Now, our passage today from Nehemiah chapter 5 shows us another thing that also mattered very much to Nehemiah. It was the reason for his anger in verse 6. It has even caused him to press the pause button for the whole rebuilding project so that he might gather most, if not all, the Jews for that great assembly mentioned in verse 7. And you know, at this point, Nehemiah and his people were still facing potential threats from the oppositions. Therefore, it would have been a huge risk to gather the Jews in this manner. But Nehemiah saw that it was very much needed in order to address a very important matter. So what exactly is happening here in chapter 5 that matters so much not only to Nehemiah, but should also matter very much to the people of God? Well, the situation is described for us in verses 2 to 5. We have this group of Jews who were under great pressure just to make ends meet because of three main reasons: the famine, the king's tax, and the rebuilding itself, which was now taking much of their time away from their livelihood. So for the sake of their own survival and their family's survival, what did they do? Well, they turned to the Jewish nobles and officials for help, not only because they have the financial means to help them, but they were their fellow Jewish brothers. However, these nobles and officials had a different perception. Instead of seeing these Jews as their own brothers and sisters who were in need, they saw them in their predicament as a profit-making opportunity. So even though they were lending money to these Jews in need, they were also charging them very high interest. And in verse 11, in some Bible translation, we are told that the interest was a hundredth part, which was probably 12% per annum. And this is crazy, isn't it? It is higher than most personal loans that we can get from our banks today. And it simply did not matter to the nobles and officials that these Jews were already in such desperate circumstances. It did not matter to them that these Jews were not only mortgaging their fields and homes, but even their own children as collateral. It did not matter to them that these Jews were their own brothers and sisters. And what these nobles and officials were more concerned with was themselves and their own gain. And this, my friends, was the reason for the outcry of the Jews against their fellow Jewish brothers. This was what has affected Nehemiah so much: this relationship among God's people, the way fellow brothers and sisters in God ought to be treating one another. And why should this matter so much to Nehemiah that he would even put on hold the whole rebuilding project? Well, because Nehemiah knew that this mattered even much more to God. You know, in Exodus chapter 22, verses 25 to 27, God has already made known to his people through his law that he is against the exacting of interest among his people. And no one should ever take advantage of another among them who is in need. Now, this is mentioned again in Leviticus 25, verses 35 to 36, and Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. So God's word has made it very clear that this will not be the way his people would treat one another. In fact, God even made this provision in Leviticus 25, that on the year of Jubilee, those who were sold as servants among his people must be released, properties that have been mortgaged must be returned, and debts, financial debts, must be cleared at a reasonable condition. And all these laws and provisions have been put in place right from the beginning because God's people mattered to him. And let's not forget that God's people matter to him so much that God would send his only begotten Son, Jesus, as the sacrifice for their redemption. So back in our passage today, what the nobles, the officials had done by exacting interest from their fellow brothers and sisters wasn't just a reflection of their lack of compassion, but it was ultimately a lack of fear for God. a lack of their obedience to God's word. Their needy brothers and sisters did not matter to them because God and his commands did not matter to them. And this is precisely what Nehemiah had pointed out in verse 9, saying, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God?" Well, my friends, today as we look at Nehemiah 5, and as we consider this topic on reigniting our compassion for the needy, I hope we will not see this as a moral education lesson that is trying to teach us, you know, how to be a good and compassionate person in the society. But what we have here is a much more serious matter which concerns our own relationship with God. How we treat not just others, but our own brothers and sisters in Christ is a reflection of how we are treating God and His Word in our lives. In fact, at the end of our passage today in verse 13, Nehemiah did this prophetic act of shaking out the folds of his robes. And this is meant to be a sober warning, even for us today, that if God's people, if God's Word have no place in our lives, then we would have no place in God's family or even in His presence. And you know, this is what Jesus Himself has pointed out in the Gospel lesson today from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus was talking about the final judgment. And over here, Jesus described very clearly how our relationship with even the least of His brothers, those who are also our brothers in Christ, this will have a huge implication on our relationship with Jesus now and for eternity. And that is why in Matthew 25 verse 41, those who have not treated their brothers and sisters in Christ the way that they ought to, this is what Jesus will say to them in the end: "Depart from me." My friends, as we focus on this theme concerning a deeper life in Christ during this season at the cathedral, I believe this has a lot to do with the examining and building of our own relationship with Christ. But you know, our passage today, and even from last week's sermon by Reverend Chris on Nehemiah chapter 3, they show us that a deeper life in Christ must also involve the examining and building of our relationship with others, especially with those within God's family. My friends, today if we say that we love Jesus, that Jesus matters to us, then we must bear in mind that our brothers, our sisters in Christ, especially those in our cathedral family, regardless of who they are, their background or social status, the differences that we may have, they should matter to us just as much. And I believe it is only when we have learned how to show compassion and love to our own brothers and sisters in our own spiritual community, then we can be genuine in our plans, in our efforts to show love and compassion to others in the larger community, both locally and overseas. And in closing, I want to leave you with two application points. Firstly, let us learn to see one another in church as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I may be stating the obvious, but I think this is something that we may forget or ignore so easily at times. Just like how the nobles, the officials in our passage today, have missed it completely. And perhaps the repeated appearance of the word brother in Nehemiah chapter 5 is meant as a constant reminder of this close relationship with one another in our spiritual community. So may we learn to always see one another, especially in our cathedral family, as brothers, as sisters in Christ. The ushers, the people manning the check-in stations for the on-site services are not just duty personnel, but they are our brothers and sisters. Those who are keeping the cathedral clean and safe and in operation every day are not just the verger or full-time staff, but they are our brothers and sisters. Those who are working behind the scene to make this online service possible are not just the AV team, but they are our brothers and sisters. And because these are all our brothers and sisters in Christ, they matter to us just as they matter very much to God. And please remember that I am also your brother, not just an ordained minister at the cathedral. Now, secondly, in order for us to show compassion and love to one another, let us also learn to see the needs in the lives of our brothers and sisters more than in our own lives. And I'm not just talking about financial needs or other great needs in life. You know, our gospel reading from Matthew 25 shows us that even the one who asks for just a cup of water is someone who is in need and someone whom we ought to show concern for. Likewise, many of us might simply be in need of a prayer, be in need of a word of encouragement, or even just a listening ear. But the thing is this, no matter how big or small these needs are, you know, they are often not written on our foreheads. In other words, we won't know about each other's needs until we have a conversation or a relationship with them. And this requires us to make deliberate effort. You know, especially during this period of pandemic, it requires a deliberate effort on our part to connect and to build deeper relationship with one another, especially those who may often be neglected in our spiritual community. Call them, text them, meet them, spend time with them, and care for them, because they matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your grace and mercy, restore and strengthen our relationship with one another in our spiritual community over here at the cathedral. Help us to love one another as Christ has loved us. And may our unity and love for one another be a strong witness to the gospel of Christ here in Singapore and beyond. And all this I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.